This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. It's the holiday season, which for many people means exchanging baked treats, such as cookies.
So for Food Friday, we thought we'd focus on Christmas cookies and other holiday baking with a true expert. Anna Thomas Bates is with us. She's a freelance writer who blogs at tallgrasskitchen.com. She writes a weekly column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's food section. And you can find her writing on babbel.com and at Edible Madison. Anna, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Let's start with a question that vexes me every time I bake with butter. How soft is soft when we're softening our butter for baking?
Well, it's a great question. I have a lot of people ask me why are there cookies after they're finished baking just puddles of, just turn into puddles. They just spread out, and it's likely because your butter was too soft. And I'm guilty of this as well. I'll plan to make cookies. I'll put my butter on the counter in the morning, and by the afternoon, that's when I get around to it. By then, your butter is too soft. It's not going to be able to cream up and capture a lot of air, and it's that air beaten into the butter that gives you really nice structure. So really, you don't need that long. If you have a whole stick of butter, it can soften up in about a half hour. Otherwise, I get it out right before I bake, and I actually cut it up into small slices, put it into the mixer, and by the time I'm ready to get around to it, after putting together the flour, it's the perfect softness to beat up.
I guess that's my problem. I never use the mixer. It frightens me. So I just use a fork, and if I don't have it really soft, my wrist kind of falls apart after stabbing at it for 20 minutes or so.
Well, you are old school. You should get at least an electric hand mixer, but if you've been a good little boy, you should get yourself a stand mixer because it's really an easy way to make really good cookies.
I'll put that on my list.
All right, and we'll put in a good word to Santa as well for that. I want to start with a more of a broader philosophical question. You know, cookies during the holiday season are almost like the perfect thing to make because they come in so many shapes, so many flavors, so many sizes, and everybody in the family can help.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, who doesn't like a cookie? And if you don't like one kind of cookie, there's going to be another kind of cookie that you're going to enjoy. And there's not a lot of technical ability or a fuss to it. You know, you really dump everything into a mixer or a bowl and use a fork like Rob, and you mix it all up and plop it onto a baking sheet, and then just don't bake it too long, which is my second big tip. Overdone cookies are no good.
So let's talk about that, because having baked cookies myself many times, I am a victim of having baked too long. How do you make sure you don't do that? How do you make sure you wind up with a nice, you know, crisp on the bottom but not burnt?
Sure. Well, your first batch is going to be your test batch. Usually you're doing multiple trays of cookies in one batch. And the basic rule of thumb is if you can smell the cookie baking, it's ready to come out of the oven and probably was ready to come out about a minute earlier. So take a peek in, look through the window. When your cookie looks just done on top, almost underbaked but not raw, and is just slightly golden around the edges, that's when it's ready to come out. Let it cool on the baking sheet for 1 or 2 minutes, and then go ahead and use a nice spatula and take it over onto a cooling rack, and they'll firm up right away.
Now, the flagship of the holiday cookie, of the Christmas cookie, is the sugar cutout cookie. That's the one I always steer toward when it's on the platter. What advice do you have on making those as good as you can?
Sure. With a sugar cutout cookie, one of my best tips is after you cut out the cookie and have it all laid out on the tray ready to bake, pop it into the freezer for a couple minutes. And then when you bake it, it's going to hold its shape really nicely and not puff up or spread out.
So wait, after you cut it into the shapes, it goes in the freezer for a couple?
Yes. So cut it into the shapes, put it on the baking tray, and then just slide it into the freezer for a little while.
This explains everything. I'm taking notes here. Of course, now after the cookie is done, I mean, some people prefer a plain cookie. I am not
wrong.
One of those people. I prefer something a little more festive, something with more calories on it, perhaps. Give me some ideas about making something attractive and yet simple.
Sure. If you want to go really basic, before you actually bake the cookie, you can buy something called sanding sugar, which is a nice colored, sparkly sugar. You can get white as well. And you sprinkle that onto the cookie, and then you bake it. And then it comes out already decorated and sparkly and pretty and colorful. Otherwise, just make a basic icing. And I like to pick shapes that you can ice all in one color and they still look good. So like a snowflake, a star, a Christmas tree. You know, you don't have to get fancy with a lot of different colors icings unless you want to. And then after that, you can add a few embellishments. Like for a green Christmas tree, you can add just a couple of those red sugar beads. And there you have ornaments. Or a little red nose for a Rudolph. Or for a snowflake, just white sanding sugar looks really great on top of white icing. So you can be very, very simple but have a really attractive cookie.
Our producer, Galen, is getting worked up about frosting over there. He says he's wondering about soft versus hard frosting. He says nobody likes hard frosting. It's got to be soft.
You know, I actually have, I'm middle of the road. I don't like the super soft frosting because then it just kind of makes a big mess when you try to pack it up. And I don't like the royal icing, which is the really hard icing that, you know, professional decorators use because it doesn't taste well. And I actually have a recipe on my blog where it's just powdered sugar, a little bit of milk, and a tiny bit of honey or corn syrup. And it goes on thin, and it stays pliable, but it will dry enough within a few hours that you can actually stack cookies without messing them up. So I kind of go middle of the road with the frosting versus icing debate.
And speaking of stacking cookies, you know, it's one thing to have them in the jar or something, but these are going to be out for family and friends to see. How do you? I just put them in a pile, but I've been advised by several people close to me that's not the way to do business. So give me some tips.
Sure. If you really want to have a nice platter, if you're going to make more than one cookie, and you don't have to, if you've got a really great family recipe or you're really good at a single cookie, make a whole bunch of those and give those away. But if you're going to put together a platter, it's kind of like designing a menu. You want to have complementary and contrasting flavors and textures. You know, always want to have something chocolate. You always want something with a little bit of color, like a sugar cutout cookie. I think something with dried fruits and nuts are very festive. And I also like to have something that's not a cookie on my platter, either a little bit of spiced nuts or some shards of toffee or a little truffle, just something to kind of break up all the cookiness. But yeah, mix and match and have some diversity, and it'll make for a really beautiful and delicious cookie platter.
What are some of your other favorite cookies to make, and maybe advice on making them to go alongside those sugar cookies?
Oh, sure. You know, if you're thinking of chocolate cookies, there's chocolate crackles is a popular one. That's a dark chocolate with a powdered sugar coating, and then as it bakes, it kind of melts down and has a crackly appearance, and that's a standard favorite. People love the thumbprint cookies, and you can do those in all manners of flavors. You can have a jam thumbprint with a little bit of strawberry jam in the top, or people will put in a Hershey's Kiss or a little dab of ganache for their thumbprint cookie. I also really love shortbread. It's nice to have something that's has a nice defined shape, and it's real dense and not too sweet, but very buttery. I have a brown sugar whole wheat shortbread that I like to make, and there's lots of other really nice shortbread recipes out there. It's nice to have a bar cookie, and there's all manners of different types of bar cookies, ones that have lots of nuts and pretzels and crunchy things, and that adds a lot of texture to your plate. But really, if your butter's not too soft and you don't overbake things, and you're using good ingredients, you're not going to go wrong. Also, if you're going to make a new cookie, make sure you're using it from a well-tested source. There's so many opportunities out there to get recipes, and some I find are very good and well-tested, and others not so much. So it's nice to go to a source that has a lot of well-tested recipes.
What about cookies that have to travel? And what I'm thinking about are cookies you might make up a gift pack for family members. You might take them with you on a trip. They're in the trunk of the car. There's something like that. Are there any particular kind that are going to wind up in one piece, like the way they left home?
You know, there's sturdy, and then there's cookies that don't dry out. And I think a good combination of the two is again, the shortbread. It's really rich. Shortbread has a lot of butter, so it's not going to dry out and honestly still tastes really great a week or two after you make them, if they actually last that long. And they're pretty sturdy as well, so shortbread is a nice one to pack up and either mail or take with you in the car.
So any thoughts in our last minute or so on non-cookies, other good things to bake around the holidays? What else do you have planned maybe for a holiday meal?
Oh, sure. Other than sweets?
Other than the cookies, yeah.
Other than the cookies, sure. Well, I like to do a big Christmas brunch, and we'll do breakfast, and we'll have a big fruit salad. We'll have cinnamon rolls, which are sweet, but that's always a big part of it. I like to do an oven-baked bacon glazed with a little bit of cayenne and honey. And, you know, we'll probably have a ham at some point during that day as well.
Oven-baked bacon glazed?
Yes.
Wow. That's all we can say.
You had us a glazed bacon there. Yeah.
And to turn you back to the cookies really quick, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel annually does a holiday cooking contest where people turn in their best family recipes, and we got a lot of really good ones this year. And this year they put them all together in an ebook, so you can get all the past year's winner if you go to jsonline.com/ebook.
Ooh, do we know what the winner was on that yet?
Yes, it was an Italian fig cookie. So it's a sugar cookie with a little bit of frosting stuffed with this wonderful filling that had fig and coffee and lemon juice and brown sugar. It was really delicious.
Wow, that sounds great for the season.
Yeah.
Well, Anna, thank you so much for joining us. A lot of fun, as always.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
To you, too.
Bye-bye.
That was Anna Thomas-Bates. She's a freelance writer. She blogs at tallgrasskitchen.com and writes for the Journal Sentinel's food section.
Coming up Monday on Central Time, we're going to be talking to an expert about the most popular baby names from 2013.
And we'll see if the movies and TV shows are big influences. Katniss's from the Hunger Games, maybe.
Possibly. I'm
Arya
kind of,
from Game of Thrones.
I'm still hoping for Eugene to make that
Eugene,
big comeback.
Someday, yeah. Man. Your day will come. We'll also hear the story behind a hard-to-find particle that could hold the secret of the universe.
And we'll be asking a science teacher our most burning questions about how everyday stuff works.
We'll also keep on top of the news of the day. That's all coming up Monday here on Central Time. Coming up after the news, does the U.S. Constitution need a rewrite? Our guest says the founders never intended the Constitution to be a sacred document. It's time to make some changes. I'm Rob Farrick.
And I'm Gene Purcell. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.